It's time for justice. Welcome to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. on 97.3 FM WRIR. I'm your host, Marty Wegbright. This show is written and produced by Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. We give free, civil, non-criminal legal aid to low-income people in Richmond, Petersburg, Charlottesville, and surrounding cities and counties. Coming up on this week's show...
Now we have over 100 organizations filed with us that have either police or law enforcement somewhere in their name. Some of those are local groups here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Some are sitting down in Florida, and little or none of your money will actually benefit the Commonwealth. So... you know, make sure you get the information and then check it out. You know, the one thing, although it's nonprofit, you know, you've still got to do your homework. We like to tell people, you know, before you write the check, you've got to check it out. Contact the Office of Consumer Affairs. We'll let you know if there is a professional soliciting contract, if there is a contract, how much of your money will actually reach the charitable organization. Historically, when a professional solicitor is involved, the charity gets 10 to 30 cents on the dollar.
Michael Wright, manager of the Regulatory Programs Unit at the Virginia Office of Consumer Affairs, discusses regulation of charities and what information you need before you decide to donate, and what your former employer may, and may not, say about you in a job reference is disclosed during this week's question and answer session. All that and more coming up. Stay with us. The show is supported in part by a grant from the Virginia Law Foundation. This show, number 57, is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society and gives only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford an attorney, we'll tell you later in the show how to get free legal advice or representation in a civil case. The Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show is heard every Wednesday at 12:30 on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, and is made possible by community radio volunteers at WRIR. And now, this week's news you can use. On July 24, the executive director of the Virginia Organizing Project was arrested for trespassing after asking to speak with his agency's health insurance company in person. The company had increased his health insurance premiums by 14.1%, with no additional risks and no new health care services to justify the increase, while spending millions of dollars to lobby against health care reform. Executive Director Joe Sakos wanted to find out how much of the premiums were being used for lobbying. When he tried to meet with the health insurance company, they locked the front door and told him to call his customer service representative. After doing so and being placed on hold, six Enrico County police officers arrived and arrested Sakos, who was charged with a Class 1 misdemeanor for trespassing. The Virginia Organizing Project pays more than $25,000 per month in premiums, expecting health care and not lobbying. But health insurance companies spend $1.4 million per day lobbying against health care reform. For more information, go to www.virginia-organizing.org. In other news, on May 20, 2009, Congress passed and President Obama signed the Protecting Tenants at Foreclosure Act. This law requires that new owners acquiring property through foreclosure honor existing leases. The sole exception is that a new owner who seeks to occupy the unit as a primary residence may terminate the lease with at least 90 days' notice. However, a loophole has arisen. The Act states that a lease survives foreclosure and protects the rights of a tenant, quote, under any bona fide lease entered into before the notice of foreclosure to occupy the premises until the end of the remaining term of the lease, end quote. Tenant advocates say this language means that any lease entered into before title to the foreclosed property has passed should survive foreclosure. But the banking industry takes a contrary position and claims they will only honor leases entered into before the foreclosure was commenced, which could be months before title to property passed. Litigation on the issue is almost a certainty. With this week's News You Can Use, this is your host, Marty Wegbright. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's legal term of the week is jurisdiction. Jurisdiction is the power or authority of a court to hear and decide a legal case. Not every court can hear every case. Cases dealing with sums up to $4,500 can be heard only in general district court. Cases for more than $4,500 and up to $15,000 can be heard either in general district court or circuit court. Cases for more than $15,000 can be heard only in circuit court. Adoptions, annulments, divorces, driver's license restorations, guardianships, injunctions, name changes, wills and estates, and home and land ownership also can only be heard in circuit court. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Diane Dussault, and jurisdiction is this week's legal term of the week.
You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. It's time for this week's question and answer. We're here in the studio with this week's questioner. Tell us your name and where you're from.
This is Jane from Richmond.
Welcome to the show, Joan. What question do we have this week?
My daughter was let go from a job, and she had another job offer. The doctor called the previous employer, and the previous employer stated that she had been fired and that she was not a good fit. I would like to know, are they legally allowed to do that?
Well, Joan, that's a good question, and there's a specific Virginia statute that covers exactly that situation, and it's called Code of Virginia 40.1-27, and it says as follows: no person doing business in Virginia having discharged an employee from the service shall, and these are the key words, willfully and maliciously prevent or attempt to prevent by word or writing, directly or indirectly, such discharged employee from obtaining employment with any other person. And then it goes on and it says, but this section shall not be construed as prohibiting any person from giving, on application for any other person, a truthful statement of the reason for such discharge. Now, to translate all of that legalese into plain English, a prospective employer can ask a former employer for information about how the employee did on the job and why the employee is no longer there. And the employer can give a truthful statement. What the former employer can't do is, as the statute says, willfully and maliciously prevent you from obtaining another job. In other words, they can't lie about you. They can't be untruthful about you. But they can be truthful. Now, of course, in that situation, what's considered truthful, what's considered untruthful, is probably a matter of interpretation. In this particular case, I understand the former employer said it wasn't a good fit. Well, that could be truthful, that could be untruthful. I mean, even if she'd been there for years and years, it might have evolved to a situation where she wasn't a good fit. What I always advise people to do in situations like that is when you make an application for a job and you think there might be a problem if they contact your former employer, is to just be upfront about that and to say why you separated, what your side of it is. Let the prospective employer hear your side first rather than hearing it from the former employer. Now, if the former employer deliberately lies, you might be able to sue the former employer for money damages, but that would be a very difficult case. Does that give you the information that you were hoping to get?
Yes, sir, it does, and thank you.
Okay, thank you very much for being on the show. Welcome back to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. We're here at the Office of Consumer Affairs, and we're talking with Michael Wright, who is the Manager of Regulatory Programs Unit, and we will be talking about the Office of Consumer Affairs regulation of charitable solicitations. Welcome to the show, Mike.
Thank you.
First question, Mike, is why do we regulate charitable solicitations in Virginia?
Well, we actually estimate that approximately $13 million is donated daily to nonprofit organizations 365 days a year. So although we're talking about nonprofit business, we are talking about very big business. And as a result, you know, anytime that much money is involved, there are going to be people trying to get your contribution that you may not necessarily want to provide them with any funds.
Now, I understand there is a law that was passed in 1974 called the Virginia Solicitation of Contributions Law, and it has a lot of key terms in it, including the term charitable organization. What is a charitable organization that's subject to this law?
Well, and that's a great question. Under the statute, charitable is a very broad, broadly defined, so that really almost any organization that's soliciting contributions in the Commonwealth of Virginia is required to file with their office. Now, that does specifically exclude, or the statute specifically excludes, churches, associations of churches. It also excludes the political action committees, political parties, political campaigns. Those are all regulated by the State Board of Elections. So, you know, other than those entities, if anyone is asking for a contribution in Virginia stating that it will do some good, they should be filed with our office.
So what are the requirements that charitable organizations have to follow? I gather they have to register with a certain office?
Correct. It's primarily a disclosure statute. It also obviously provides us with the ability to investigate and refer those matters to legal counsel. What the statute does is provide a central source so that anyone who wishes to contribute in the Commonwealth can contact our office, determine, one, is the organization filed, where are they actually located, how they will use their funds. You know, organizations are required to provide us with financial information so that now the donor can make an informed giving decision on how an organization will actually use their contribution.
Now, when a solicitor is soliciting contributions for a charitable organization, are they required to give certain disclosures to the people they're trying to get solicitations from?
Yes. Well, professional solicitors are. And a professional solicitor is someone who is compensated to solicit on behalf of a charity. That does not include bona fide salaried officers or employees of an organization. Obviously, doesn't apply to volunteers. But a professional solicitor, and let me tell you that almost all telephone solicitations are conducted by professional solicitors. So if you get the call at home, like we all do, they should disclose to you their real first and last name, the name of the company that they actually work for, tell you they're a paid solicitor, and then give you the real name of the organization on whose behalf they're soliciting. So when they call you, they should say, "Hi, my name is Mike Wright. I work for the ABC company. I'm a professional solicitor soliciting on behalf of the XYZ charity."
And do you find that the professional solicitors are complying with the law, or is they widely ignoring this requirement of the law?
Well, you know, certainly all of the documents filed with our office by the solicitors say that, in fact, they are giving the disclosures. My personal experience in getting calls at home is, in fact, most of them are complying with the disclosures, which is unusual, because anytime we talk to a consumer, you know, they rarely do hear that disclosure, and it's understandable. You know, they always call us at dinner time in the evening. You've got 42 things you're trying to do. They run through this sales pitch very quickly, and they just slide this in there. Now, you know, we don't. The use of the term professional solicitor, although required by regulation, you know, that's the one term many times they will leave out. But they do almost always inform you of the name of the company that they're working for. Again, most people simply are not listening word for word to the person on the telephone. And it's a very fast-paced sales pitch. They're trying to get on and off the phone as quickly as they can.
So when you receive one of these phone calls, what would you advise the consumer, the person receiving the phone call, to do? How would you go about checking out the solicitor to see whether this is an agency or organization that you want to make a contribution to.
Well, yeah, again, almost all telephone solicitations are. First thing you want to do is, you know, if you didn't hear a disclosure on what the company name they work for, ask them, you know, what company actually employs you. Also, make sure you get the actual name of the organization for whom the contributions are being solicited. There are a lot of very similar names by organization. You know, police, fire are obviously, you know, keywords. And unless you write down the real name of the organization, it's tough for us to then tell you who may have called you. Now, we have over 100 organizations filed with us that have either police or law enforcement somewhere in their name. Some of those are local groups here in the Commonwealth of Virginia. Some are sitting down in Florida, and little or none of your money will actually benefit the Commonwealth. So, you know, make sure you get the information and then check it out. You know, the one thing, although it's nonprofit, you know, you've still got to do your homework. We like to tell people, you know, before you write the check, you've got to check it out. Contact the Office of Consumer Affairs. We'll let you know if there is a professional soliciting contract. If there is a contract, how much of your money will actually reach the charitable organization. Historically, when a professional solicitor is involved, the charity gets 10 to 30 cents on the dollar. You know, certainly that can be a little higher. Unfortunately, it can be lower.
That is quite surprising. So the other, you say 70 to 90% is not going to the charity, but it's going elsewhere?
That's correct. It goes for the, you know, cost of solicitation. Telephone solicitation is a pretty expensive way to do things. And obviously profit for the professionals. They're in this to make money.
And this Virginia Solicitations of Contributions Law, I assume it applies to solicitors, whether they're calling from Virginia or anywhere outside of Virginia?
Absolutely. You know, if they're soliciting in Virginia, regardless of where the charitable organization is located, regardless of where the professional solicitor is located, they are both required to be filed with our office.
And do you find that most of the out-of-state solicitors are complying with the law or are not complying, or is it just not possible really to tell?
Well, actually, you know, almost all of them do comply. You know, periodically we'll come across a new one, but in reality it's very rare. There are about 40 states now that regulate charitable solicitations in one form or the other. You know, professional solicitors actually register in all of the states. The Supreme Court has said that we cannot limit how much money a charity can pay to a professional solicitor to solicit on their behalf. So therefore, you know, they go ahead and register. They don't, by not registering, that's pretty much a death sentence. They can get prosecuted very easily for that. It's much easier to register with our office, give us all the paperwork required. You know, the public simply got to contact us to ask for it.
So when the public does contact you to ask for it, what should they ask for? What should people be looking for in making that decision whether to give or not to give?
Well, first thing, of course, is, you know, is the organization registered with our office and do we have information on the organization? Is there a professional solicitor involved? Certainly, you know, direct mail campaigns would not be solicitors, only, you know, the phone. So if it's a direct mail and you receive a solicitation, you can contact us. And then what you want to really know is how much does the organization spend on its purpose? Nonprofit organizations have basically three types of expenses: administrative overhead expenses, fundraising expenses, and then program services. So if you give, say, a dollar, the, you know, one of the key components is how much of your money is actually going towards the program. Once you get an idea of what that percentage is, if that percentage meets your criteria, then you've got to look at the details.
And what would be a reasonable percentage of your contribution to actually go to the charitable purpose as opposed to administrative and fundraising?
Well, again, you know, the Commonwealth of Virginia cannot set those criteria, again, because of Supreme Court decisions. There are other organizations out there that establish those. The Better Business Bureau is one such organization that establishes, you know, their guidelines for when you meet their standards and don't meet their standards. I believe the current standards, it's in the neighborhood of 60%, used to be 50, so they've upped it a little bit. We certainly work very closely with the Better Business Bureau. You know, organizations are it's mandatory that they file with our office, whereas filing with the Better Business Bureau is a voluntary situation. We certainly recommend that you contact the Better Business Bureau to see, do they meet the Better Business Bureau standards? They have some very good standards out there and do a great job of assisting consumers in making that decision.
And how would someone contact the Better Business Bureau if they wanted to get information?
Well, there is a local Better Business Bureau here in Richmond. It's a Greater Richmond Better Business Bureau and the Yellow Pages. There's also a National Better Business Bureau that does do reports about the national organizations. Those can be obtained online. Again, the Google search for the National Better Business Bureau, and you're in great shape.
And how would someone contact the Office of Consumer Affairs to get the information that you all keep on these charitable solicitations?
Locally here in Richmond, they would call 786-2042. Our telephone counselors do a great job of providing basic information. You know, if more detailed information then is needed, they would refer you, the caller, over to one of our registrations analysts or one of our investigators to provide a little more information.
Okay, well, thank you very much. We have been speaking with Mike Wright. He is the manager of the Regulated Programs Unit of the Office of Consumer Affairs, and we have been speaking about the Office of Consumer Affairs' regulation of charitable solicitations and how you can protect yourself before you decide whether to make a charitable contribution. Thank you so much for being on the program.
Hey, thank you. And again, there are a lot of great groups out there, but before you write the check, be sure and check it out.
Thank you so much. You're listening to the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio.
This week's top three tips are about venue. The first tip is that venue in a debt case is one of three different places where you should be sued: the county or city where you now live, or where you took on the debt, or where you agreed in writing you could be sued. The second tip is that under Virginia law, you can be sued anywhere in the state, even if you don't live there and had no dealings there. If the lawsuit is heard and judgment granted far away, any legal action to collect the judgment also would be far away. The third tip is that if you are sued in a place where you don't live and had no dealings, you should promptly ask the court to move or transfer the lawsuit to a venue closer to where you live. For the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show, I'm Michelle King. And for this week, that's our top three tips about venue.
That's all for this week's Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. This show is heard every Wednesday from 12:30 to 1 p.m. The show is the sole responsibility of Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. To see if you can get free civil legal aid, call during intake hours. These are Monday through Thursday, 9 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. and 1 p.m. to 2:30 p.m. The phone number is 200-6046 for intake, 648-1012 for the main number, and 1-800-868-1012 to call toll-free. You can get free legal information at the statewide legal aid website. This is www.valegalaid.org. You also may get free pre-recorded legal information by phone during non-business hours. These are before 9 a.m., after 5 p.m., and on weekends and legal holidays. Call toll-free 1-866-534-5243. Also, if you have a question you would like answered or any comments on the show, you can email them to marty@cvlas.org. Please include your name and phone number. You also can leave that same information before 8 a.m. or after 6 p.m. by calling 200-6045. This show provides only general legal information. If you have a legal problem and need specific legal advice about your situation, contact an attorney. If you can't afford one, call Central Virginia Legal Aid Society. Every day, 8,000 Americans lose their home to foreclosure. Preying on the misfortune of others, foreclosure rescue scams continue to multiply. Join us next Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. when our guest, attorney Henry McLaughlin, describes how to spot these scams, avoid them, or deal with them if you're trapped in them, in a rebroadcast of a show originally heard on July 23, 2008. That's Law for the Rest of Us next week on the Central Virginia Legal Aid Radio Show. I'm Marty Wakeman.